Thank you, Chris. Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. I hope you had a good week. In spite of the variance in weather, it is February, so let's just keep that in mind. Today, as I look out across there, I see red all over. We recognize the Kansas City Chiefs today as they play in the Super Bowl. We just look around and we see all these Kansas City Chiefs and look back there a while ago. What happened to your hair, Patrick? It's gone. It's good to see you, though, as we celebrate today. Not long ago, as I think about us wearing red and Kansas City Chiefs, and it wasn't long ago that we were wearing Windsor Greyhound clothing to recognize them as state champions. And now, today, we say, okay, Kansas City, it's your turn. It's the Chiefs' turn.
Steve,
yes?
The young man here is an All-American.
Fantastic. I did not know that. Congratulations. That's a lot of hard work. Congratulations. Glad to hear that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. You know, as I've been talking about the last week or so about a spiritual journey that you're just about to begin, well, you've already been on a spiritual journey, but beginning to turn and continue in your spiritual journey. And as we think about our spiritual journey, let's pause for a moment as we pray together to God. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for the opportunity to worship together. And as we worship together, we praise your name. Speak to us this morning, Father. Touch our hearts and lives. And when we leave here, may we truly know that we've been in your presence. Guide us, direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture today will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all seem to know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as the love chapter. And chapter 13, it's kind of interesting that chapter 13 comes right in the middle of a lengthy discussion of spiritual gifts found in chapter 12 and chapter 14. And then right in the middle there is the love chapter, as we call it. The Corinthian church was arguing about their spiritual gifts, and they were arguing, which spiritual gifts should I use? Which do I have here? Which is the greatest? Well, when the writers of the New Testament looked at the world of their day, they looked around and they saw who talked about love, saw people talking about love, but seemed to know little or at least nothing about what sort of love the Holy Spirit had endowed them with, had revealed to them on love. And with that in mind, we think to ourselves, we ask the question, what is love? We talk about it, we hear about it. Next week being Valentine's Day, we talk about love. What really is love? Well, if you came up to me and asked, I might say something like, love is God. Love is family. Love is Mexican food, and love is football, of course. Or is it God, family, football, and Mexican food? Nah, I probably had it right the first time. God, family, Mexican food, and football all seem to be important to me. A quote from an unknown source said this, I know you believe you understand what I think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. Love. What is love? When I think about love, I love God. I love my family, my wife Carolyn, my children, my grandchildren. And when I think about love, every church family that God has allowed me to serve over the past 50 plus years, whether it's in Missouri, Massachusetts, Florida, North Carolina, and oh yes, you as First Baptist Church, Windsor. And in 2 weeks, February 21st, I will say it's also love to the people at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church right outside of Jefferson City as I begin an interim there the Sunday after I leave you. The reason I say that about the love of the different states and the different places that God has allowed me to serve, I always leave a part of myself wherever I serve, wherever I am. I love food, Mexican food, you name it. That's what type of Mexican food I like. I love basketball, baseball, football, especially the Kansas City Chiefs. But when you think about love, what is love? Love is the key to relationships with one another. Relationships to others. While love is a common theme, it's not always easy to define what love is or even to describe what love is if someone would ask you what it is. Listen to the answers of children when you ask them, well, what do you think love is? 8-year-old Greg would say, love is the most important thing in the world. But baseball's pretty good too. 9-year-old May said this, no one is sure why love happens. But I heard it has something to do with how you smell. And she goes on to say, that's why perfume and deodorant are so popular. When 9-year-old Roger was asked what is love, what it's like to fall in love, he said, it's like an avalanche where you have to run for your life. 7-year-old Leo, who really isn't interested in love, says, if falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want to do it. It takes too long. And then there's 8-year-old Bobby. Bobby, recognizing the power of love and the probability of being ambushed into love, it says, love will find you, even if you're trying to hide from it. Love. Love is not a pick and choose like in a buffet. We can't say, I'll take a little bit of love. I'll take a portion of peace. A spoonful of self-control. But I'm going to pass on patience. It's a full meal deal. Not a buffet. Love is a commandment. Love is a decision followed by action. Listen to Jesus' response as found in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 and following. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love. Love is. In Jesus' last intimate encounter with his disciples, he said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples. If you have loved one for another, he said. Will not be known by our power. Will not be known by our wealth. It won't be known by any attractiveness that a person might have. You won't even be known by your success forever. But you will be, we will be known by our love. The late preacher Dwight L. Moody once remarked this, some occasionally take a journey into 1 Corinthians 13, but very few actually live there. from the words of Jesus. Love is a distinguishing mark of us. It's been said, love talked about is easily distinguished. It's easily to be ignored. Love demonstrates an irresistibility of a person. It's irresistible. I'll get the word out. I'll keep trying. Jesus not only talked about love. Jesus not only talked about kindness, but Jesus modeled it. And that's what he's trying to say to each of us. We not only talk about love, but we model God's love. Paul actually painted a picture of real Christian love, as we find here in our scripture passage. And as he spoke to the Corinthians, he speaks to us as well many years later. Love. Love is indispensable. Big word meaning necessary. Love is necessary. We look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and the first three verses say that, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul's pretty clear here. He makes it clear that love is the very thing that deepens a fellowship, deepens a relationship. He said that if you do not have love, he says twice there, you have nothing. I am nothing. In other words, life minus love equals zero. Going back to your math talking this morning, Kate, life minus love equals zero. We can understand more clearly if we consider the essential things that society has today. Society seems to think about popularity, love. It has to do some with money, some with pleasure, some with health, some with education, some with power. And if one of these or a combination of these happens in society today, we feel sort of successful. We feel like we've made it. But we go to God's Word and Paul says this, all or nothing if we don't have love. Love is essential. Love is essential in life. It's been said, love is the medicine for the sickness of the world. Love is also essential to the church. Wealth, prestige, planned programs, talented leaders, they do not really attract people to put their lives back together. If they're having problems in their life, none of these without love matter, because their life cannot be put back together with that. While important, all are bathed in that four-letter word, love. As Paul said, if there be no love in life, if there's no love in the heart, there is no message. I looked at that the other day and I thought, that's interesting. Again, if there be no love in life, none, no love in the heart, we really don't have a message. Paul went on to say, love is not only indispensable, but love is invincible. He goes on in verses 4 and following, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. It always perseveres. Note in verse 4, it says, love is patient. Meaning persistence. Love is persistent. It doesn't waver. It doesn't come and go. Note verse 7. It says 4 different times the word always. That's why I said it doesn't waver, because it's always to be there. It goes on and on and on. This presents an active dimension, if you will, to love. Love is kind. Love is not just something that we talk about. It's not just something we feel. Love is something we do. We do. It's an experience within, and it becomes an expression without. Real love sees spiritually defeated people, and certainly there's a lot of defeated people around. It lifts them up. It lifts them up to see Jesus. It sees the hungry, and it provides food. It sees those in prison, as Scripture said, and visits them. It sees the naked and gives them clothes. Thus, the building next to us here, as we provide clothes for people in need. It sees the homeless. It provides shelter. It sees the lonely, and it reaches out in kindness. Real love patiently endures all the pressures that we have in life and persistently assists in the needs of life. It keeps on going, if you will. Sort of like the TV advertisement with the little bunny. It just keeps on going. Therefore, love is not only indispensable, love is not only invincible, but love is immortal. It keeps on going. We find in 1 Corinthians the 8th verse and following, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, that when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, that we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. In today's language, Paul would say something to this. If money is the foundation of life, that's a mistake. If pleasure is the foundation of life, that too is a mistake. If buildings are the foundations of life, that's a mistake. Why? Why are all these mistakes? Because as verse 13 says, we see in a mirror dimly, or a poor reflection as we look into a mirror. Let me put it this way. What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? Most of us come face to face with the mirror, getting that first glimpse of ourselves. And sometimes that's pretty scary when we first get up. Eyes with a dazed look, hair sticking out in places that you wouldn't dream about. Maybe you make your bed first thing when you get up. Whatever. Remember this. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? You see, mirrors have a tendency to show us every wrinkle, every gray hair, on and on. The mirrors tells it like it is. And it seems like the better the mirror, the more flaws that we see. So why have mirrors if that's going to be the truth there? It is to confront our own faces the first thing in the morning. We know that if we do not look at ourselves and make some minor or major changes, the rest of the world is going to see that morning face, the change. It's better to face the truth and make changes presentable to the rest of the world. Sometimes we look through a mirror, we look at a mirror, we become depressed. We become stressed, wondering, why would God do that to us? What do we need? We need to stop looking in a warped mirror and see ourselves the way that God sees us, the way that God made us, a clear vision of who we really are and a clear vision of what needs to be changed in our life. In Genesis 1:27, we see when God said, "Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness." We are made in the image of God. We are to be comforted by the image of Jesus. We must compare ourselves with the image of Jesus, a clear view of who we are in Jesus. Only a perfect mirror can give a perfect image. And the only perfect image is Jesus. The act of love will echo forever in God's character. And it abides. It goes on and on. That is life. It is life. Several years ago, I heard a high school choir sing the song "Inscription of Hope." And the lyrics were written during World War II on the wall of a cellar by an unknown Jewish prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp. Here's what it says. "I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when there's no one there. And I believe in God even when he's silent. I believe through any trial there's always a way. But sometimes in the suffering and hopeless despair, my heart cries out for shelter, to know someone's there. But a voice rises within me saying, 'Hold on, my child. I'll give you strength. I'll give you hope. Just stay a little while.' I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. And I believe in love even when there's no one there. But I believe in God. Even when he's silent, I believe through any trial, there's always a way. May there someday be sunshine. May there someday be happiness. May there be someday love. May someday there be peace. My love, God, family, Mexican food, football." And as the song and the poem stated, I believe in love, I believe in God. Note here, God's love is listed first because it abides forever and ever, and it goes on and on. And something else, it not only abides, but it enables us to love as well. That's what people need to see. They need to see and hear from us a part of our spiritual journey, which includes the love of Jesus Christ in us and through us. So I say today, I don't know your life. I don't know how your relationship with Jesus is. Have you received God's love into your life? It's offered to you. It's right there for you to accept and receive. Would you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today if you haven't? Has your Christian love faltered? Has it gotten a little bit rusty? Maybe you have a need in your life to recommit your love and life to Jesus, the Lord. Are you in search of a church family in which to serve together with other Christians? Whether you're live stream, whether you're here in person, what is your life? Pray about becoming a part of First Baptist Windsor. Real Christian love is action. It's action that lasts forever. It goes on and on. That's why, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have an everlasting eternal life. Real Christian love. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your presence today. Thank You for Your love, because You are love. Thank You for giving us life. Thank You for giving Your life on the cross to enable us to receive and experience an eternal life. We love You, God. We love You, Jesus. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to